How can we make the world of sports more sustainable? Hi, my name is Jacob Wickestall, and I'm the host of the Sport Juice podcast, a podcast where we interview new perspectives that you had never heard before, and all of them are all about the sports world. We dive into interesting conversations with unique people and get to know their stories from the sports world. Basically, we take you through an exciting journey behind the sports front stage. And we do this together with our collaboration partner, Sport Idealisten, a job platform only for the sports industry. Find your dream job or dream candidate today and just head over to sportidealisten.com to learn more. But now let me introduce you to today's guest. He holds a master in sports administration, and he is a sports and sustainable consultant, a member of the Sports Ecology Group, and he is the founder of and the CEO of the Sports Footprint, an environmental friendly startup implementing sustainable practices in the world of sports while engaging fans, organizations, and key stakeholders. But with that said, welcome to the Sport Juice podcast, Ioannis Konstantopoulos.
Thanks a lot, well, Jacob, for
that was a try at least. Here. Sorry for the name there, but we talked about it a little bit before we started recording, so I did my best at least.
You did your best, definitely. People have gone much worse with my name, so thank you. Thanks a lot for the invitation, and thanks for having me here. It's a great pleasure to talk with you about sport and sustainability.
Yeah, likewise, and I think this is a subject that is very, very like hot topic at the moment. Meanwhile, there's a lot of people that don't know anything about it. So I'm very glad to have the opportunity to be here today with you to learn more, and but also making sure that more people have the chance to learn more about the topic, and so we all can contribute to a more sustainable world.
Exactly. It's kind of trendy. It's hot. It's one of in my humble opinion, one of the most trendy topics in the sports industry at the moment, alongside with digitalization and data management and big data analysis. And as you said, that there are no expert and not much of an expertise in the industry of sport and sustainability. I was talking the other day with some colleagues of mine, both academic and practical, and they were saying exactly this, that everybody talks about sustainability right now, but there are no particularly experts on that.
So what I would like to do, as I usually do with my guests here, is to ask them their first sport experience when they were a kid. So what would you say comes up to your mind when you think about when you were young? What is the sport experience that brings you closest to your heart?
Well, you know, in Greece, I don't know if you know it, but basketball is one of the most popular sports, kind of a national sport. So I was lucky enough to have a small basketball court outside of my door, and I was playing with my brother like for ages, for hours. The neighborhood was complaining about us and stuff like that. So yes, I have basketball in my heart. Then I started playing football, but these two sports are the kind of, as a native Greek, I have them to my heart.
And did you play basketball for a while, or how did that look like?
Football won my heart. So I was playing football organized in an academy until I got 18. And basketball, I kept having it as a hobby, playing with friends in a weekly basis, let's say.
And somehow, within all of this, you started to enter into the topic of sustainability and sports. How did that let you know? What brought you to those topics together?
That's a very interesting question, because I did my bachelor degree in physical education and sports science. So I was more focused on subjects like coaching, sports science, and fitness. And then I started attending sport events, and I was more interested on the management of these events and about sustainability aspects, as I had in my personal values, the thing about protecting nature and the environment. So looking at the plastics, let's say, or different examples of non-sustainable event management, I was thinking about that. So when I did my master's in sport administration, I was more focused on the sustainability in all aspects of sport management, let's say operational, marketing. Gradually, I shifted from sports coaching to sport and sustainability consulting.
I'm not sure, like I don't have any stats on it, but I'm not sure like how common that is. I think there's what are most of the people that I know that are talking about sustainability, but also somehow sports, then usually they come from like the environmental friendly and focused area. And then you might also have an interest into sports in general. And then you start looking into those two pieces together. But exactly. I'm thinking, you know, it feels like, in my opinion, it feels like sustainability has becoming something that it pops up. I don't know, like the last 6-7 years somehow, something like that, starting to become more and more serious. And we're talking it also more and more in all different sectors, including the sport one. But then also there's a bigger demand on sport organizations to take a bigger responsible, focused on sustainable organizations. How you deal with everything from the games in itself into, you know, we have all the jerseys that is being consumed the whole time. There's a lot of things. But what would you say is sustainability in general? Why do you think it's so important?
That's a great question. And I think in the bottom line, like as a conclusion, sustainability is important for sport because there is no sport in a non-sustainable planet, isn't it? So it's regarding the effects of climate change. As climate change threatens our health and our lives and impacts the way that we operate, that we consume sport, that we participate in sport with different examples like air quality or infrastructure, flooded sports stadiums, etc. So it's kind of, it comes up to human survival and human life. So sport basically offers a great platform to engage in sustainability aspects. And obviously sport to become more sustainable, but also use the power of sport to make the world more sustainable. So there are two different aspects that sport can contribute in this fight against climate change and against the clock.
Do you think sports has a better, like the movement of sports have a bigger chance to make an impact on the sustainability work compared to other sectors?
That's a very nice question. And I will answer in two ways, the one with numbers and one with a small anecdote. So from one side, we have some amazing numbers that say that 2.5 billion people, like one third of the humanity, follows football, for example, is a football fan. Or one third of the European population in this European context is a sport participant, like active sport participant. So sport has a great platform that engages with millions of people that other industries cannot. And when I was attending a lecture about sport and sustainability, a great speaker, very engaging one, said, okay, let's discuss on the end of the day. If you hear in the TV, you're watching the news and you see a politician talking about climate change and saying that we need to change our, you know, politics and policies in order to be more sustainable. And from the other side, you have Messi or Ronaldo or a great like athlete. Who would you engage with, your sport idol or with a politician or with a guy from an industry? And usually, either we admit it or not, sports idols speak to our heart and we follow them. It's much easier, even for us, that we perceive ourselves as experts, to hear about sustainability from an athlete than a scientist. After a while, you know, you're getting tired. You sometimes they use language that most people cannot understand. So the bottom line is that sport has this power, has this unique power to influence change. And it has done it with social change, with women, with a lot of social issues that emerged through sport. So that's I think, my response to this question.
And I think what you just mentioned with like the athletes themselves, they have a big impact of like being an influencer, which is also a trendy word that has been popping up the last few years. But, you know, sport is much more than obviously the elite sport in itself. And what would you say, like, do you have any examples of good practices when it comes to sustainability work in sports? Or what have you seen? Like, what are the different examples of sustainability in sports that we do at the moment? What do you know?
As you mentioned, the industry is on an early stage. The last 5 or 6 years, these sustainability-related aspects have really emerged into the sports industry. But still, we have good examples from the elite sport, but also from grassroots sports. And for example, we have the Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle in the United States, which is a great stadium hosting a professional hockey club. And they are totally sustainable. They measure their carbon footprint. They have circular economy models. They use clear energy. So in all different areas of operation, they have adopted a sustainable mindset, let's say. But also in a lower level, we have, of course, the example of Forest Green Rovers, which I don't know if you heard about them. But according to FIFA, they are the most sustainable football club in the world. And they compete in the third professional division of United Kingdom. So we can see that small clubs can also make a very big impact with having sustainability on the core of the operations. Lately, there was a football club from Norway called Bodø Glimt, which competed also in the Europa League. And with a very simple notion that we want to protect our oceans, they started a platform engaging people, engaging different stakeholders, fans, sponsors, partners of the club, and made a huge impact. So you don't, in my opinion, you don't really need to be a huge club or a big athlete, famous, popular, to have an impact on sustainability.
And hopefully a lot of people do know about those clubs that you just mentioned. I would say that Forest Green Rovers has been one of those that has been very like focused on the role model, how they implement everything from everything is vegan, what you order at the kiosks, they collect all the rain in order to use the water to water the pitch. And so on, which is an incredible work. Obviously, it takes a lot of work behind it and a lot of time in order to put everything in together. But what you can hear and read about it, it's something that also connects all the fans among them, because it's more or less the core value for them is to become an environmental friendly, good football club, more or less.
But exactly. Let me make a comment on that. You offer a great platform to mention that if, for example, a listener now is on the management team of a football club or a sports club in general, and they hear what they hear about Forest Green Rovers, and they can imagine the huge amount of work that you mentioned that is required to do all these things. But this doesn't happen overnight, you know. The journey of Forest Green Rovers started in 2010, so they're like 13 years already working in sustainability. And you don't have to start now and tomorrow have all these sustainable, amazing operations and solar panels and then collecting rainwater. But it's a very step-by-step process, a real like greening journey that can take decades.
Yeah, definitely. And I was thinking, you mentioned like more or less like a arena, so to say, in the United States, and then a football club. Are there any other like other sports than, because to make sure, I mean, the Pledge Arena is only ice hockey, right?
Yes, exactly. They have different floors for other indoor sports like basketball. So they have a really nice technology. But there are a lot of examples across the sports industry. There is Formula E that uses electric cars and they do amazing job. There is SailGP that has sustainability on its core. So pretty much right now in 2023, most sports have understood the need for sustainability. And most of them, they started to taking action towards that. So there is, from one side, these traditional sports like football, basketball, or other sports that take action towards climate and they try to become more sustainable. And there is this emerging discipline of sports that go with sustainability as a flag, you know, that they are becoming sustainable and they try to attract and engage audience based on that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Hopefully it makes sense, but it could be also clearer when we go further through the conversation. I was thinking, you know, sometimes you can hear the world or the word sustainable sport. What comes up to your mind when you hear someone more or less asking you what is a sustainable sport?
Well, I don't really think that in a conceptual level this exists. There was a great academic paper saying that it's all about how do we define sustainability and sustainable sport. And if you take the definition of the United Nations about sustainability, that basically is the need of future to have the need of future generations to meet their own needs, which is a very broad definition. So if we keep it that broad and vague, I wouldn't say that there is a sustainable sport. But as the International Olympic Committee have launched the project, as sustainable as possible would be a more relevant term in my opinion. So a sport that is as sustainable as possible, to me, is a sport that minimizes the environmental impact, so it has as less as possible, and maximizes its social impact, because we shouldn't forget about social sustainability when we discuss about sustainability. It's not only about the environment, but it's also having a huge impact on the society, and at the same time trying to have as less as possible towards the environment.
And in your work as of today, what sort of like questions do you get mostly?
Usually, sport organizations, when they start their journey, they are a bit lost, to be honest. They don't know where to start and how this journey looks like. And I totally understand them. When I started working on sustainability, I was lost, and I cannot say now that I have clearly everything so clear in my mind. But so usually, you start by measuring. Without data, you cannot really do anything. You cannot see your baseline, you cannot see your impact, and you cannot see your progress. So when you start on your sustainability, you have to measure your carbon emissions, right? And your impact in general, but you have to measure some things. So the framework starts with measuring. And then based on this baseline measure, you start implementing things. For example, I will give a very, very simple example. If you are a regional sport club or a local sports club, and you have a sport facility that uses a lot of electricity, you measure your electricity bills and you see that you have a big impact on this energy consumption. So you have to do something about that. So you find ways to be more energy efficient, or you change to LED lamps, or you try to use less energy. So based on this initial measurement, you implement some things, and then you start monitoring, start having measurement as a standard in a yearly, in a monthly basis. And throughout this process, you start engaging with people, because without people, without the engagement of different stakeholders, you cannot really do anything. If you want to have a waste separation and recycling and composting, without engaging with the people that you want them actually to throw the plastic bottle on the right bin, you cannot really do anything. So for me, the framework is initial measurement, implementation, monitoring in a yearly basis, and then throughout the whole process, engagement with different stakeholders.
Would you say there's a specific role or a person in the organizations that do this still as of today, or do they have to sort of hire someone new to become like their own sustainable, responsible person, something like that?
That's the case with Elite Sport only. So the last couple of years, we have seen a lot of job openings in the sports industry as sustainability manager. But that's only with Elite Sport. So there are a lot of Premier League clubs that they hire sustainability officers, but even not all of them in the Premier League. So in this case, with Elite Sport, you need a sustainability management, because there are a lot of data, a lot of operations. These clubs are companies, so you need to have proficiency. But in a local level, it's all about people, that they have sustainability and the environment on their personal values. So you need to find these people inside the club and start working in a voluntary basis to help you become more sustainable.
And I guess that is one of the challenges for the sports world, especially for those clubs that are more like amateur driven, but they're still, you know, have a huge impact on the society, even though it's a small club, because it's making a big of the social impact. But then imagine if everyone could take one step further when it comes to the environmental aspect as well, what that could be, you know, the great impact that could turn out to be. However, who should take, you know, the first step, and who should be responsible? It would be interesting to see in a few years if we, you know, there would be more of a demand or something like that, where clubs need to have like a sustainable manager, or someone that is at least responsible for the sustainable aspects or outcomes from a amateur club all around the world.
You're right. You're totally right. And this is a main challenge, but think of how this challenge can create an opportunity, because what would be sustainable for the future sports to have just a person in every club dealing with sustainability, or having the whole club embedding sustainability in their values? Like if you work on a marketing department, you or me or anyone working on a marketing department, would you prefer to have a person saying to you that, you know, we have to make more sustainable operations, or you have to work more on sustainability and guiding that through? Or would it be better for you to get educated and start implementing sustainability in action? It takes longer, but for me, it's more sustainable, into brackets, to have the whole club educated on sustainability.
And when you mention it like that, then it sounds also that if we would look into a little bit more of the skills of the future within the sports world, it would probably make a lot of sense to also broaden, or more or less, you would become more attractive if you can offer and provide sports clubs that you have sustainable skills, so to say.
Definitely, definitely.
So that will be exciting to see. We can mark this and see, Johannes, if in 5 to 10 years, that would be one of the top skills in the upcoming interviews.
Sports is changing, and it's changing rapidly. And, you know, all students, but also currently sport professionals, it's how we say that skills is a lifelong experience that you have to get educated all the time. It's not like in the past that you did the master's degree and that was all. Then for the rest of your life, you work on it. Now it's a different model that needs adaptation and a lot of education in a lifelong is a lifelong process. So yes, I think sustainability skills would be very valuable in the future.
Maybe a tricky question, but let's see what you say. Like, what are the three things that you would say could do help clubs to take the first step if you don't do anything as of today? What would like be three good tips how a club or a person in a club can start taking some steps forward?
Okay, yeah, it's a tricky one, but it's a very very practical question, and people need practical answers. I think less traveling is one thing. Second thing, energy efficiency. And the third thing, circular economy processes. So less traveling, obviously, because traveling is accounting for 60 to 80% of the total emissions. So either you have some people traveling to your facility or to your club by car, and you have to minimize this impact. Or in a elite sport level, you travel a lot by plane around the world or around Europe to play games, and fans are traveling with you. So generally, traveling is number one, otherwise called the scope 3 emissions, is the number one problem that we need to tackle. Secondly, I talk about energy because it's very relevant these days with the energy crisis. And this acceleration, let's say, of more sustainable sources of energy, we need to improve our energy efficiency in sports, either when it comes to facilities or all over sports club operations. And thirdly, is a circular economy as a concept. Either we talk about waste management or water management in some outdoor sport or in different aspects, we need to implement the circular economy model and circular economy process all over the operations of a sport entity.
Well, it wasn't that hard. I thought it would be a more challenging question.
I think implementation is challenging.
True that. No, but those are great tips to at least start looking into, I think. Or no matter if you're listening right now and you're like a manager in a managing role in a club, or like you're just helping out. But I think definitely for those of you that are students at the moment and would like to get into the sports industry to actually work full time, or maybe help out as a volunteer, I think this is a great start to look into these aspects. Maybe look into the closest club in your area to see if you can see that they are working with these aspects as of today, or if not, or you can't really find out, ask them and see. And that could be actually your first step into getting that maybe dream job, but especially help out to make the world a more sustainable one. So yeah, good tips from you, Janice. Let's head over to some questions we got into from the audience. And first out would be Louise Torsvik. And she asked you actually a few questions. So let's see what we can combine here. But I think one of the main questions here is like, how can we become better to communicate about sustainability within like sporting events?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because as I mentioned before, communication and engagement is a number one thing in sustainability. So if either we talk about a large sport event of participants all over the world, or of a regional sport event with like 500 people over there or 100 people, you need, if you want to become more sustainable, you need to engage with people. And obviously the tools are different. When we speak about the large sport events, you use social media, you use different, you have a budget for that actually. And you create sophisticated marketing campaigns to make the event more sustainable. But when we talk about a local sport event, it all comes up to science, to short talks with participants. So there are a few tricks that makes an event more sustainable and engages with people, like the signings. You have to make it, the bottom line is that you have to make it simple for people to follow sustainability. I was in a panel the other day, like a week ago, and there was a guy saying that you don't have to have a PhD to see how you have to put a plastic bottle in a bin, because we have like five different bins and five different signings in a different language, in the local language. And if you don't know the local language, you don't know where to throw the bottle. So you have to make it as simple as possible. You cannot have a participant walking huge distances to throw their rubbish, or or switching off the lights. You need to make it simple and try to make sustainability simple.
Yeah, as simple as that. Good. Thanks for that answer. Another question from Luis is, how, you know, do you think sports are looking to each other, like from different sports, to learn from the different challenges, but also successes that they do achieve as of today? Do you think like other clubs are looking to like other sports, a basketball club looking to a football club and so on?
That's a great question. Yes, this is happening a lot, and in the scientific language we call it isomorphism. So sports interact with each other, and obviously when you start and you want to become more sustainable and you don't really have the knowledge to do that, you just check other industries, other examples. You try to find the benchmarking organizations. So yes, there is a lot of knowledge transfer between sports, but also sports are different, and there are a lot of similarities, but also there are a lot of differences. You cannot really make golf sustainable with the same way that you can make basketball, because obviously the golf has a huge impact with the water that they consume. And the indoor arena has a different needs than water, so there is knowledge transfer, but we cannot stay only on that. We need to develop tools for every individual sport to strive on sustainability.
And lastly, from Luis, is are there any like differences when it comes to sustainability in the sports world? If you look at the geographically belonging, so like West compared to East, or Europe compared to North America, or North America compared to South America, do you see there's any differences when it comes to sustainable work?
Yes, there are cultural impacts, especially when it comes to social sustainability. So there is a very, very, very different social impact of a sport in Brazil and totally different in the UK or in Germany. They have the concept and they also measure differently social impact of sports. When it comes to environmental sustainability, some practices are similar, but there are also changes, for example, the differences. So for example, in Qatar, in the World Cup, the climate conditions of this area demanded the football stadiums to have a very innovative AC systems. Like they need fresh air, they need the cool air, and which we don't need in a northern country. So there are differences, but also there are similar things that organizations can follow independently of their context.
And Seth Kirby, he is very interested into hearing about how you can engage sport fans in the sustainable initiatives of professional sports teams, particularly in supporting cleaner forms of travel to sport matches. And he mentioned a little bit what we discussed before. We all know about the usual good practice suspects, for example, for Green Rovers and Southampton FC and Seattle Kraken. But are there any key learnings that can be extracted from other European and worldwide contexts on reducing carbon emissions to and from sports games?
You mean related to traveling? Just related to traveling?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the biggest, to be honest, that's the biggest challenge of the sports industry, because these scope 3 emissions of traveling, they're not totally controllable by the sport organization, right? We take the responsibility of them, because if a club plays a football game and fans are traveling, obviously the club takes the responsibility of the emissions created by fans. But it's kind of a shady area, and it's very much related, either we like it or not, to the infrastructure of the city and the country, right? I'll give you a very practical example. When I was in Austria, it was much easier for me to act sustainably and jump on a train and go to see a sport event. And it's very much different to Greece, when I cannot take the train and I have to drive 1 hour. So here, there is this opportunity for sport to collectively demand from the local government and the government better infrastructure and adjusted infrastructure to sport events. So, for example, when we have a sport event that attracts 20,000 participants, then it needs a lot of strategic planning and collaboration with the local government to have on the game day, on the day that the event's happening, more buses, more public transport, to help participants to be more sustainable. So that's what we said before. Use sport as a platform to demand action. Use the power of sport to demand good action from governments.
And then we have Finn Schindelbauer, who has asked this question. For first of all, building up your own company, what has been your main motivation to be part of this?
Okay, that's a very personal question. When I first started the sports footprint, I just wanted to have an impact with helping sports organizations. And it's very much different what I can do personally. Like, I can get a job to a sport organization and try to do them more sustainable. But having a startup and where you can have a lot of innovative projects all together with different sport organizations, you just increase your impact. So that was my main motivation, to change the whole Greek sport industry in the beginning, and then sports industry to become more sustainable, increase the impact.
And with that mentioned, how will the world of sport look like in 5 to 10 years is also another question from Finn.
Wow, Finn, you make it very difficult for me. I hope that it will look more sustainable and digitalized. I think this is what I identify as the two main drivers at the moment when it comes to sports. We try to make more sustainable operations and to make them more efficient, to use data that we already have, but we now try to utilize them. So I think in 5 to 10 years, it will look like a very automated, sustainable sports experience. And personalized, I would say.
And now let's head over to George Gavrilopoulos, who mentions, in today's world, sports are sponsored significantly by large companies, form food chains to betting companies and energy companies. For those companies, the higher the consumption, the larger their profits. So seemingly, their goals clash with the whole idea of sustainability. Does this impede sustainability in sports? Or do you think that this is contradictory to fight for sustainability and at the same time allow sports to depend so much on such sponsors?
I think George identified the main challenge of sustainability in the world, not only of sports, but in this transition of a carbon-based economy to a more sustainable economy. And this is when we talk about capitalism and liberal economies driven by profit, then obviously sustainability cannot in the first place really match on that. And this is what happens at the moment with all these industries of shipping, of logistics, of different basically industries, that they try to combine this profit-based approach with a more sustainable approach of without significantly lowering their profits, but minimizing the impact on the environment and maximizing the impact on the society. And through this process, companies identify that this environmental action and social impacts, they not only lower their profits, but they increase their profits, because then you engage more with clients. There was a very interesting research by Ioannou and Serafim, a Cypriot researcher from London Business School, that saw that compared the stock value of 200 and something companies that they're actively involved with sustainability, compared to 200 companies that they don't have any sustainability policies. And so that the first club of companies, the first group of companies, they had very much increased stock values and other macroeconomic indicators. So back to George's question, we can combine in the concept of a liberal economy, we have to make this transition from just looking solely to the profits, but combining this profit-based approach with a more social and environmental impact. And in the end of the day, try to increase and keep up profits in the same level, having a much bigger impact than we already have. This is a more sustainable financially model.
Barney Weston said, like, it would be nice to know if you feel that environmental sustainability in football in Greece, like, if you feel that environmental sustainability in football in Greece is behind the curve. And he sends you the best, but he would like to know about the environmental sustainability in Greece in football.
He's right. Football in Greece is behind the curve. Not just in sustainability, but in other parts as well, like commercialization and violence and these aspects. But I don't think it's only a matter of Greece. But there is a curve of sustainability that's leading by some countries, let's say Germany or UK, mostly North European countries, which is amazing. But at the same time, the global sports industry is not just European, it's not just North European, but we have, when we say like the sports industry is becoming more sustainable, we have to ensure that the sports industry in the US, in the South America, in Africa, in South Europe, in Asia, in Oceania is becoming more sustainable. So there are several countries, small countries mostly, behind this curve. And there is a huge challenge for all of us working in sustainability and policy to help them accelerate their journey towards the end of the curve.
And the last question from George M. here. Can solar panels considered as sustainability methods, having in mind the lithium excavation, which is requested for the battery?
Also very, very nice question. I would agree with him, and I would say no, with the same mindset that also electric cars with their batteries from lithium from Africa, they're not sustainable. So it all comes up to, again, to how do we define sustainability, right? And if we define sustainability as a process in all life cycle of a product, from the people that they work on the mining in Africa to bring this lithium to more developed countries, then of course it's not sustainable. But this is a conversation beyond sport, you know. It's a conversation that we need to ask economists and political leaders to ensure these things are becoming sustainable, and sport just implements them. It's just one more of all industries that they actually implement technological solutions.
Great. And let's head over to the end of the show today. And you know, people might be curious to see what else you're up to, but also maybe ask you furthermore questions. So how would you say people can connect or follow you?
First of all, feel free, for everyone is listening and have any more questions or concerns or any ideas, they can reach out on social media of either the Sports Footprint or my personal on LinkedIn, Instagram. And they can always send an email to both personal and the Sports Footprint's email. They're all online.
And also right now, when you listen to this, you can just check the show notes on your podcast app, and then you can click easily there and then connect or follow Ioannis to learn more. Well, Ioannis, it's been a great, inspiring and also very knowledgeable discussion so far, I think, and hope that more people like you and I feel like there is a lot of things to do, but it's not that difficult to make a change and an impact. It's just a matter of start doing. And I think that maybe that is the key lesson here, is that at least if we just start taking actions, and it can be small steps, just as you mentioned, Forest Green Rovers didn't start yesterday and become one of the role models as of today in the world of sports. They started a long time ago, and it's just a matter of doing the work. Well, or what would you wrap up as a last lesson learned here?
You made an amazing one, wrap up. It just, as you said, and this is also words from Claire Poole, which is a leader in sustainability in the UK, just make a start with very, very small, low-hanging fruits, but with big ambitions. So you start now doing small things, but have in mind that in 10 years from now, you're going to be much more sustainable than now. Have a big vision. That would be my wrap up. And thank you very, very much. You and the listeners that made amazing questions for this discussion. It was very, very interesting discussing with you all these matters of sustainability. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you, Ioannis. And also thanks for everyone that has been listening and also asked those questions, which is why we do this, is to encourage more people to involve, engage, and make sure that we all can be part of like the dream of our life, to be part of something that we enjoy, and we should be able to do it. So that's one of the things that we do, why we do this podcast, to showcase all the different perspectives and experiences that people do in the world of sports. And if you would like to learn more, follow us on our Instagram account, Sportviews Podcast. Feel free to drop any guests that you would like us to put in the show, or any subject that you would like to learn more about. And if you have the chance, if you like these different shows and episodes that we do, please send us a nice review on your podcast platform. Otherwise, we're looking forward to have another conversation in a few weeks again. So stay tuned, and I hope to see you all listeners there. And thanks once again, Ioannis, for being part of this episode. And let's create a great day from now on as well. Thank you all, and take care. Ciao.